M. Scott Peck, in his classic book, The Road Less Traveled, quotes Buddha, "Life is difficult and full of suffering." Life is hard. It's a series of ups and downs. And I'm here to tell you that it is not reality TV. It's hard for us as individuals and as communities, as even as countries. Life in this world is hard. And it was just as hard in biblical times for the peoples of Israel. They took sides, they formed alliances, and gave their allegiance to leaders. And they did it for gain, for protection, and for status. I can almost hear them asking, "Who is your king?" And today we consider that question using scriptures from 2 Samuel and Psalm 150 and then from the Gospel of Mark. And I believe that there are lessons to be learned by doing so. And as we proceed, in the back of your mind, I ask you to be asking yourself, who is my king? Now, last week, we examined the uncommon love of Ruth. And the story was set in the ominous words at the very end of the book of Judges. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. And yet in that time of chaos, Ruth displayed an uncommon love for her mother-in-law, Naomi. Leadership was at that time provided by tribal leaders and elders or priests. And Samuel was recognized as one who, who continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with the people. Samuel was well respected. But unfortunately, his sons were not. So all of the elders gathered together. And they came to Samuel at Ramah and they said to him, "You are old. Your sons don't live as you do. So appoint us a king to lead us. We want a king just like the kings all the other nations have." And Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him that it wasn't him that the people were rejecting, but the Lord himself, just like they had been doing ever since they came out of Egypt. So God told Samuel to warn the people that they should be careful what it is that they ask for. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. Think carefully about these next verses that I read and the situation that we find ourselves in today. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards, and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. Not exactly a picture that I would want to live into. But the obedient Samuel anointed Saul as king. And if you remember your Bible at all, Saul was king, but when it came to fighting wars, David was the commander who was victorious. And Saul was, even so, unable to unite Israel and Judah. And after much intrigue and bloodshed, and David became the king. Now this pleased the people, for David was the commander of victorious armies. And ironically, if you remember, David was selected by Samuel when he was a young boy. Some say like around the age of 14 or so. And he was now 30 years old. He ruled over Judah for 7.5 years and would then rule over the united kingdom of Judah and Israel for 33 years. Just as an aside, a biblical irony, who else came to prominence at about the age of 30? Now you would think that things were really looking up. David mobilizes an army and recaptures the Ark of the Covenant, which had been captured by the Philistines. And in 2 Samuel 6, the first 5 verses, the Ark of the Covenant is being brought to Jerusalem, signifying that David was not only a war king, but also God's anointed king. There was joy in the land. There was dancing and singing and music as they transported the ark to Jerusalem. Psalm 150 describes the joyful scene. Praise him with the blast of a ram's horn. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, Psalm 150 is a song of praise to God, calling all of the people to praise God in the sanctuary, to praise him for all of his almighty acts and with instruments and dance. Every time I read about dance, I think, you know, there are some that their faith tradition says that dancing is not good. But yet we read about it over and over and over again in the Bible. In fact, in other parts of we read that David danced with abandon. David danced naked, filled with joy. I'm sort of reminded, as I think about the ark being moved and Jesus entering Jerusalem, of the parading of a Dixieland band. Musicians marching down the streets of New Orleans, dancing and singing and playing. It's almost as though the presence of the Lord would come to the city of David. For you see, David had moved the capital to Jerusalem. And by bringing the ark, he puts God at the center of the people. In the sanctuary, heaven and earth would be joined together. What does it mean as a church if we put God at the center of the people? Now that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? The people had their king. But wait a minute. There's a reading from Mark that seems to parallel the triumphal procession of David. A relative of David's, Jesus, is created by the same shouts and singing as he enters Jerusalem. Cloaks are placed in the road and branches cut and waved. Hosanna! Welcome in the Lord's name. Welcome to the kingdom of our father David. The kingdom coming right now. Hosanna in the highest. The people expressed their longing for restoration of David's throne while still under the oppression of the Roman Empire. Now stop for a minute. I have a question for you. If you were to pick your favorite biblical character other than Jesus, who would you pick? I would probably pick David. God himself described him as a man after his own heart. And David did mighty deeds for the Lord and for the people. As the Casting Crowns song says, who do you know that would take a rock to a sword fight and win? But there is another side to David. He was multifaceted, multi-layered, you know, sort of like we are. Almost from the beginning, those layers would show through. And they would really come to the front once he became king and gained power and prosperity. There were murders and adultery and egotism in David's life. And it actually took the prophet Nathan to confront him. And one of the things you have to say about David is even though he had gotten pretty far away when he was confronted, he confessed and he repented. And just because he did so doesn't mean that there weren't consequences. Devastating consequences, both for his family and his kingdom, which fell apart afterwards. But he did not lose the Lord. And there's our comfort. Whatever our sins may have been, whatever David's sins may have been, his forgiveness shows that even the worst can be forgiven. God will stay with us, though we love everything else. And many of us might identify with Leonard Cohen's words, The baffled king composing hallelujah. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Who or what have you chosen to be your king? I don't know the answer to that question for you. Would it be a great religious leader, maybe the ruler of a foreign land, a president, or some other political figure? Does their behavior match the eternal faithfulness of our God? A God who over and over and over saved his people. A God who keeps his promises, no matter what. Would you pray with me? Ever faithful God, we choose you as our King. We sing with joy as we consider your gift of grace in your Son, our Savior, Jesus. King David worked hard to return the Ark of the Covenant to Israel so that the people could honor you in your house of worship. Receive our praise in this house of worship as we rejoice in your presence. Amen.